Good morning. Today's scripture reading is Ephesians chapter 5, verses 17 through 18. Again, that's Ephesians chapter 5, verses 17 through 18. And it reads, "Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit."
Morning. Well, I stand before you this morning, and again, I'm thankful to the elders here who approached me about taking Greg's place as he's away from us and he's with his family and having a good time, no doubt. And you know they have put him to work, I'm quite sure. So even when Greg's on vacation, you know, he's going to be working. So, but I do appreciate the opportunity to stand before you. And if you're visiting with us, you're our honored guest. And we're glad to have you with us. If you have any questions after the message this morning, you know, we stand here to answer your questions with a Bible answer. That's what our job is to do, to give you Bible answers to your Bible questions. Now, this morning, the reading and your hearing, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17 through 18. I'm going to reread that. "Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." New Year's is fast approaching. Isn't that right? Won't be, but a few more days. And many are preparing to celebrate, bringing in the new year with plenty of that old cliche, wine, women, and song. I'm sure you've heard that old cliche. Give a reveler a reason to raise his glass, and he'll drink to that. But isn't it true of us all? You know, we all like a good occasion to celebrate, and usually that involves good food, right? Going to have some of that today. But also drink. Even our Lord's first miracle was turning water to wine at the marriage feast in Cana. But now that doesn't necessarily mean the drink had to be an intoxicating form. Today we celebrate with juice, which the Bible also refers to as wine. Soft drinks, sparkling cider, Kool-Aid, whatever it may be. But nonetheless, we do have our drink at our celebrations. Sadly, though, a majority of the world does turn to the intoxicating form of drink, which contains alcohol and all the problems that come with it. Even as the new year approaches, you know, the "Don't Drink and Drive" campaign is in full effect. And the new slogan this year is "Drive sober or get pulled over." And why? You know, because alcohol is involved in 1 in 3 accidental fatalities or vehicle fatalities. Also, alcohol is involved in 50% of all drownings, nearly 20% of fire-related deaths, and up to 50% of homicides. Now, that's in accordance with eMedicalHealth.com, their statistics of alcohol-related issues. And that's not all. I mean, there's a host of them, but we'll be here all day if we want to go through them all. So how does this relate to us as Christians, though? Well, as was alluded earlier, wine appears in several forms in the Bible. Now, I wish that our projector was working, because I had a PowerPoint presentation all ready for you, worked on it all weekend, walked in this morning, and voila, that's what I saw. So get your thinking caps on and just I'll try to paint the picture for you, but it won't be like the PowerPoint. In this lesson, we'll examine what forms are approved by God that we as Christians may use godly wisdom to discern how to give our Heavenly Father glory as we tip our glass back in celebration and utter those words, "I'll drink to that." And that's the title of our sermon this morning, "I'll drink to that." We're going to talk about wine, wisdom, and scripture. Not wine, women, and song, but wine, wisdom, and scripture. First of all, let's look at the approved, the non-intoxicating form, by context. Now, I say by context because in the context in which it's used, it's not used for the purpose of getting one intoxicated or as some kind of social drink that was in an intoxicating form for that purpose. First of all, we have the grape, the juice in the cluster. Turn to Isaiah chapter 65, verse 8, if you will. Now, I want you to have your Bibles out because I'm not going to stand here and give you my opinion. I want you to go through the scriptures with me and look at the forms in which wine appears in the Bible, especially in the King James and the New King. In the New King James, it uses the term wine. It's, thus says the Lord, Isaiah 65, verse 8, "As the new wine is found in the cluster, and one says, 'Do not destroy it, for a blessing is in it,' so will I do for my servant's sake, that I may not destroy them all." So you hear the term new wine. New wine here, but it's the grape, the juice in the cluster, talking about the grape. And the word wine is used there, new wine. And then you have raisins. In Hosea 3 and verse 1, if you will turn there, Hosea chapter 3 and verse 1, the term raisins is used. "Then said the Lord unto me, 'Go yet, love a woman.'" Now, this is the Lord talking to the prophet Hosea. He's telling him to go love a woman of whoredoms because he's trying to paint the picture of how Israel has played the harlot when it comes to God, their relationship with God. So he said to, so the Lord said unto me, "Go yet, love a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine." In the New King James, it says cakes of raisins in other translations. Cakes of raisins. And these were usually the cakes. In this instance, it's in a bad light because it's the cakes of raisins that were used in worship to pagan gods. But yet, this is still a non-intoxicating approved form, cake of raisin. That's not going to hurt you. It's just a cake of raisins. And then juice. Genesis chapter 27 and verse 28. "Therefore, may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine." That's specifically talking about that which comes from the vineyard, from the cluster, the juice that's in the grape, just like we read before. And then in Joel chapter 3 and verse 18, "And it will come to pass that in that day, that the mountains shall drip with new wine, the hills shall flow with milk, and all of the brooks of Judah shall be flooded with water. A fountain shall flow from the house of the Lord and water the valley of Acacias." Joel chapter 3, verse 18, and just talking about the blessings that God will give unto his children Israel, just from the ground. And then in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 29, here we have the Lord instituting the Lord's Supper with his disciples. And when he comes to the cup, it says in verse 27, "Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shared for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.'" The fruit of the vine. The fruit of the vine. Just talking about the juice that comes straight from the vine. That which we just had this morning. So the non-intoxicating form. But then you also have a medicinal form by context. Something that was used just for medicinal purposes. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 34, you remember the Good Samaritan? The Good Samaritan, when he had come upon the man who had fallen among thieves, and he was beaten and left for dead. And so this Good Samaritan helped him out. And so it says here, "So when he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him." That's Luke chapter 10 and verse 34. And so, you know, at least in this form, it has some kind of medicinal purpose because he poured it into his wounds. Now, maybe it was a bit fermented. whatever it was, that which was poured into his wounds was there for the purpose, just like we would use medicine today, just like we would use alcohol today, for the purpose of medicine. And then 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 23, Paul speaking to Timothy, no longer drink only water, but use a little wine for your stomach's sake and your frequent infirmities. Now look at the caveat he put there. He says, use much wine? No, usually when you heard that term, given to much wine, that had to do with being alcoholic or intoxicating, something that will cause you to no longer be sober. He's not telling Timothy to do this. He's saying, use this for your infirmity. But he says, use a little. So whether that was a little bit of fermented juice or no, it was not used for the purpose of him becoming intoxicated. And that's the whole point. That is the whole point. And you know, when you think about what they had back then, you know, they didn't have distilleries like we have today. They didn't have these processes like we have today to make our drink so potent. That's why you have not given to much wine. Because it was a problem when you started to drink too much, when your juice started to become fermented. And there, you know, it's funny, we were sitting at work and there were some birds. And the birds were flying into the windows. You know what happened? They had just eaten berries off of a tree, and the berries had fermented. Those little birds got drunk just off of those little bitty berries. You know, a little bitty brain, you know. Not much there to stop those berries. But you know, fermentation, yeah, it can cause the juice to become alcoholic. But it won't be to the point like what we have today. And that's the point. The stuff that we drink today, there's no such thing as a little. A little is much. A little is too much. And so what we have today is not like what they had back in the first century. And then we come to the abuse. So we go from the approved, but let's look at the abused form. And this is the intoxicating forms by context. Now, I want you to flip with me to the scriptures here and look at what the Bible has to say. Whenever you see the term wine and strong drink used together, it's usually condemned. Wine and strong drink or intoxicating drink is translated sometimes. So we're going to look at a few scriptures here. First of all, in Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 9, the priests are forewarned. Do not drink wine nor intoxicating drink. You nor your sons with you when you go into the tabernacle of meeting, lest you die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generation. So the priests forewarned, and then the pregnant forbidden. Therefore, please be careful. And this is talking about when the woman who was pregnant with the son who was going to be a Nazarite, Samson's mother. Samson was going to be a Nazarite, and so she was forbidden to drink during her pregnancy. It says, now therefore, please be careful, do not drink wine nor similar drink, and not to eat anything unclean. Judges chapter 13 and verse 4. And you know what's funny today? When I was looking up some things on the web, it says even today when a woman is pregnant, the doctors forbid them from drinking alcoholic drinks. And you know what? They don't know if just what the effects of a little would be or much would be. They just cannot determine it. And so they forbid them to partake of it at all. And so even medical professionals, you know, have some common sense about alcohol. It's personified with evils. Turn to Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1. It says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise. Is not wise. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler. You know, it makes you wonder why they have bouncers in these bars. Yeah. And then the king is precaution. Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 4. Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 4 from his mother. It says, it is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor princes intoxicating drink. And then it tells them why. And we're going to talk about some of the effects later. But it tells them why, because they'll pervert judgment and they also forget. And so, you know, let me ask you a question. If you were about to get on an airplane and you saw your pilot put a bottle of liquor in his jacket, would you feel comfortable getting on that plane? No, you wouldn't. No, it's funny how we can see these kind of things when it relates to our safety. But then we turn right back around and we'll do the same thing though. You know, we'll drink and drive. You know, people drink and drive. People drink with their kids in the car. You know, they still go out and have what they call a casual drink. You know, and not thinking that, you know, back here, we're not talking about stuff as potent as what we drink today. For the most part. But yet, we justify drinking all the time. We'll be in our house and we justify drinking in our own homes and thus putting our own home in danger. Because you know what? It does affect your reactions to a lot of things. I once saw this test done on television, and it was teenagers and alcohol, and all they were given was one drink. But before they were given this one drink, they were made to get behind the wheel and go through this obstacle course. Okay? They went through this obstacle course and they measured their reaction times to certain things. They gave them one drink. Just one. Put them back out in the vehicle, and their reaction time slowed down like it was unbelievable. Even they could not believe how much they had their reaction time was affected by just that one little drink. And it was a little drink of beer. And boy, we have many people justify, oh, beer ain't gonna do nothing to you, I won't hurt you. It was amazing to me. And then you have pronounced woes. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 11. Turn there, Isaiah chapter 5, verse 11. Pronounced woes. It says, woe to those who rise early in the morning that they may follow intoxicating drink, who continue until night till wine inflames them. And then also verse 22 and 23, it says, woe to men mighty at drinking wine. Woe to men valiant for mixing intoxicating drink, who justify the wicked for a bribe and take away justice from the righteous man. Woe, woe, and woe. And then there's praise for abstinence. Did you know that? Praise for abstinence. Yeah, John the Baptizer, when his birth was announced in Luke chapter 1 and verse 15, look at how he is described in Luke chapter 1 and verse 15. It says, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. Yeah. Praise for abstinence. Amazing. Don't get that today. No praise. You know, you abstain from alcohol today, a lot of people look at you like, you know, something's wrong with you. You know? No praise in that. But yeah, we find praise in Scripture. And now let's turn to the effects. We looked at the approved, the abused form. But now let's go to the effects. And this is what I want us to focus on. The effects of the intoxicating alcohol, the wine and strong drink or intoxicating drink. Genesis chapter 9, verses 21 through 25. We won't read the whole thing. But what happened was, in Genesis, Noah became drunk with wine. And so he ended up in a type of a perversion, laying out naked before his sons. It says, then he drank of the wine and was drunk and became uncovered in his tent. And that caused his younger son to do something perverse toward his father. And so because of that, God cursed his younger son. You know, all alcohol related or related to intoxicating drink. And then in Genesis chapter 19, verses 32 through 35, incest was involved with intoxicating drink. Remember Lot's daughters? You know, after they left Sodom and Gomorrah, and the mother was killed because she looked back, she was turned into a pillar of salt, and then Lot and his daughters ended up in a cave. And you know what the daughters said? Because they had no men there, they say, let us preserve our father's seed. You know how they did it? They got their father drunk and laid with their own father. And it says here, we'll just look at one part of the verse. That then he drank of the wine and was drunk and became, wrong one. It says, come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him that we may preserve the lineage of our father. And so when he awoke from his wine, he did not know what he had done. Incest. 2 Samuel, verses 13, chapter 13, verse 28. Absalom and Abnon. Abnon, it caused his death. Look at what Absalom says. You know, Absalom was after Abnon. Vengeance was on his mind. And so he made a plan to get, after Abnon had become drunk with wine, that's when he was going to go in and overtake him. Actually, he sent someone else to do it. But it says, now Absalom had commanded his servant, saying, watch now, when Abnon's heart is merry with wine, and when I say to you, strike Abnon, then kill him. Do not be afraid. Have I not commanded you? Be courageous and valiant. 2 Samuel 13 and verse 28. You know what's funny about that? You know, when you go to 1 Peter chapter 5, you know, this almost sounds something like what it says about the devil, you know, and us. It says for us to be sober and vigilant, for the devil, our adversary, goeth about, you know, seeking whom he may devour. But it tells us to be what? Sober and vigilant. And then look at what he tells his guy. Do not be afraid. Be courageous and valiant. So on one hand, you know, they're sober. But then they're going to go to Abnon while he's full of wine. And they're going to overtake him. That's what the devil wants you to do. Don't want you to be sober. Don't want you to have a sober mind. There's so many scriptures that tells us to have a sober mind. Can't do that when you're full of wine and strong drink. Then also violence. Proverbs 4 and verse 17. Proverbs 4 and verse 17. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. Associated with violence. And we see that all the time. You know, many deaths are caused because of someone being intoxicated and just losing all their inhibitions. Deception and lack of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1. It says, wine is a mocker. Strong drink is a brawler, or whoever is led astray by it is not wise. You know, the Bible would not be saying these things if there was not a danger. And the one that stands out to me the most is in Proverbs chapter 23. If you will, take your time and turn there and really take a look at these scriptures in relation to wine and strong drink. And because you're going to see, this is going to relate to maybe somebody you might even know. But Proverbs chapter 23, beginning of verse 29, it says, who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaints? Who has wounds without cause? You see somebody drunk and they just all beat up, not know what, they wake up and not know what happened to them. You know, when I was reading online, it talked about one of the dangers of a person who is drunk and gets injured. It says, for them, you know, if that happens, you need to take them to seek medical help right away. And then they gave an example. They said a person could be drunk, and they could actually injure their spine and not know it. And not until it's too late, till paralysis sets in, that's when they know that they've injured themselves. Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? You got any friends that seem like their eyes are always red? Always. Who has redness of eyes? Those who lean along at the wine, those who go in search of mixed wine. Do not look at the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it swirls around smoothly. You know, you see them commercials, Hennessy, Chardonnay, Cristal, goes down smooth, you know. Talks about that with beer, you know. It's about how smooth it is. It's right here in the Bible. It's smooth. God knew what he was talking about. It said it when it swirls smooth, at the last, now look at this part, at the last it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper. You know, it's as dangerous as poison, is the point that we're on right now. Actually, it's even more dangerous than poison when you really want to look at it. No, poison might just take you out. But when you're drunk on alcohol, you might go take somebody else out along with yourself. A lot of people that get behind the wheel do that, sadly. That's why we have the slogan, you know, drive sober or get pulled over. It says your eyes will see strange things. Your heart will utter perverse things. You ever heard somebody that's drunk and start to talk and they just say all kinds of things? You know, we were at a celebration last night, one of our friends celebrating their 60th birthday. And relative, not just a friend, but also a relative of my wife. And so we went, and of course my wife and I, you know, we made the choice of how we will conduct ourselves at this celebration. And of course there were some people who went and to where they could go get themselves something that contained alcohol. And you know what? When you start to listen to people, when they start to take the drink, the conversation starts to change, starts to get louder, and they just start to talk and laugh at just about anything. They were utter perverse things. Yep. Utter perverse things. Yes, you will be like one who lies down in the midst of the sea, or like one who lies at the top of a mast saying, they have struck me, but I was not hurt. Yeah, right? But I was not hurt. They have beaten me, but I did not feel it. A lot of people want to take that drink before they go and get into a brawl, because that's exactly what they tell you. When shall I wait that I may seek another drink? Very sad. Very sad indeed. But let's continue. Proverbs chapter 31, verses 4 through 7. Now, this is when we talked about the king, and I told you we'll get to why he was forbidden or forewarned. It says, Proverbs chapter 31, starting verse 4, it is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine or princes intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the justice of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to him who is perishing and wine to those who are bitter of heart. Let him drink to forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. You ever seen somebody who was so depressed and all they did was go to the bottle? They're drinking to forget. They're drinking to forget. You know, it's nothing new. It's right here in Scripture. Right here. And this is one who will stand in a position where he will have to make judgments. A king. And he's giving the advice. You stay away from this stuff, lest your judgment be perverted. But yet we have people that run this country. You know, we wonder why things are so messed up. Wow, they can't get along in Congress and all this. I remember one event where our president, and don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to make this political, you know, but you know, I didn't agree with this, but when the president gathered a couple of other folks and they sat down to drink at the table to clear out some problem that they have. You know what? When you drink, you let down your defenses, don't you? And, you know, you wouldn't want to go, or if you were CEO of some company or whatever, you wouldn't want your people going out and try to get that deal while they're under the influence of alcohol. As a matter of fact, on my job, if they find alcohol in your vehicle, you will be terminated right then and there because it perverts your judgment. It could cause death on the job. You know, I work in an office with computers. I'm not working a crane, you know, not doing any welding. I'm not doing anything that's going to cause anybody any danger. But guess what? They found alcohol in my vehicle, I'm gone too. Because there's certain things I need to be doing on my job. Might not affect anybody physically, but it might affect their bottom line. But sometimes money talks, don't it? Now, these CEOs, you know they're out on their big yachts and they're just, you know, champagneing it up. But when it comes to us working for them and when it comes to them thinking of the bottom line, They telling you, be sober. Don't come in my place of work intoxicated. Not one drop. Need to think about that. You know, the Bible has it right here for the king. And then Isaiah chapter 28, verses 1 through 7. It causes erring in leadership and loss of self-control. Isaiah 28, chapter 28, verses 1 and verses 7. It says, woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower, which is at the head of the verdant valleys, those who are overcome with wine. And then verse 7, but they also have erred through wine, and through intoxicating drink are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through intoxicating drink. They are swallowed up by wine. They are out of the way through intoxicating drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. This is talking about the priest and the prophet of God. How would you like Greg to come up here? How would you like our elders to be under the influence as they make decisions for this congregation? The Bible is giving us some clear warnings. I mean, it's clear to me. But yeah, we have controversy over this. You know, that's what I don't understand. Where's the controversy? When the Bible is so clear. Well, Noah did, well, look what happened. His son was cursed. Well, what happened to them? You know, every time we have that wine and strong drink put together, using the same context, something bad follows. You know, and you need to realize this, because people are going to try to tell you what so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so, they say it all, they do it all the time. Wine is in the Bible. Yeah, it is. Well, what form are you talking about? Because it's in there in different forms. So, you know, don't be blinded. And that's the next point. It causes blindness, ignorance, laziness, and greed. Isaiah chapter 56, verses 9 through 12. Isaiah 56, verse 9 through 12. It says, his watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. In verse 11, yes, they are greedy dogs, which never have enough. And they are shepherds who cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone for his own gain from his own territory. Come, one says, I will bring wine, and we will fill ourselves with intoxicating drink. Tomorrow will be as today and much more abundant. These are God's leaders. Blind, ignorant, lazy, and greedy. Yeah. It takes away the heart, Hosea 4 and verse 11. And it causes abominable sins against children. Turn to Joel chapter 3 and verse 3. Joel chapter 3 and verse 3. And this is talking about those who have had God's people in captivity. And look at what they're doing to God's people. It says, they have cast lots for my people. They have given a boy as payment for a harlot or a whore or a prostitute, and sold a girl for wine, that they may drink. You know, what if you went up to the bus stop with your child, and you happen to escort your child onto the bus, and you see a bottle of wine sitting up on the dashboard in front of the bus driver? We'll raise some flags. Would you let your child get on that bus? Abominable sins against children. This is just one thing. Yeah. There are some horrible crimes done against children. And many times, alcohol is right there in the mix. It causes transgression. Habakkuk 2 and verse 5. Yea, also, because he transgresseth by wine, he is a proud man, neither keepeth at home, who enlargeth his desire as hell, and is as death, and cannot be satisfied, but gathereth unto him all nations, and heapeth unto him all people. Habakkuk 2 and verse 5 causes transgression. So, how do we conclude? How do we conclude? Well, we said we were going to talk about wine, wisdom, and scripture. We talked about wine. We saw what scripture has to say about it. Now we need to use some of our wisdom. You know, how would wisdom answer the following question? Would Jesus approve of this type of drink for his followers? I'm going to leave it up to you to answer. Use your godly wisdom. Would he want us to remember his death by serving intoxicating drink at the Lord's Supper? I'm going to let you use your wisdom from the scriptures that we just read. But you know what? There's some people that will answer that question with a resounding yes. I don't think they've read all the scriptures. Are we to be filled with this kind of beverage? Well, we just read the scripture that says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with what? Be filled with the Spirit. Yeah, don't be filled, you know, be filled with the Spirit. Not with spirits. That's another term for alcohol. And as we talked about, 1 Peter 5 and verse 8 says, be sober, vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So when you celebrate, be sure to choose the proper form of drink, so that you will be sober, so that you can come over. That's what God is asking us to do. Be sober, live sober, so that you can come over. Because Jesus is going to return. And when he returns, he wants to find us in a sober mind. In Revelation 22 and verse 17, it says, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. You know, yeah, when we get to heaven, we'll be able to take of the waters of life, everlasting life. You know, that's the kind of drink I want. You know, when Jesus met the woman at the well, you know, he told her that, hey, I can give you drink that you will never be, you know, always quench your thirst. You'll never be thirsty. We should be hungering and thirsting after righteousness, not after strong drink. And so, brothers and sisters, I hope you will choose the right form of drink. And if you're not a member of the Lord's church, I hope that this lesson has helped you. I hope that it's brought something to light for you. Because, you know, we're a group of people who want to use the Bible, not our opinion, when we decide on how we're going to live before God. You know, when you come into the Lord's church, you don't find a whole lot of things going on in a lot of these other churches. You find people who are dedicated to the Word of God. We're not here to put on a show. We're not here to please ourselves. You know, we're here to please God. And we're here to help one another. And I hope that this lesson has helped you. Yes, I used to be one who partook of wine and strong drink. But I'm a Christian now. I'm a Christian. You know, even before I became a Christian, I had a little bit of sense to know that, what am I doing this for? It's not doing me any good. But now that I'm a Christian, I can see what God has to say about it. And he has said all of this stuff long before I was here even on earth. And yet we still have people fall into Satan's trap of the wine and strong drink. So listen to the woes of scripture and use your wisdom, people, and do the right thing before God. If you're not a Christian and you have not obeyed the gospel, you know, Jesus tells us what to do. He told his disciples to go into all the world, Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And so those apostles went out on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, and they preached the gospel. And they were asked by those Jews on that occasion who crucified Christ, men and brethren, what shall we do? Because they knew they had crucified the Christ. And he said, repent. Let every one of you repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for what? For the remission of sins. You know, if you want to become a Christian, that's how you do it. You be baptized for the remission of your sin. Not accept Jesus into your heart as your personal Savior. You won't find that in Scripture. You won't find it. I challenge you to look for that in Scripture. Or say this prayer. You know, Paul was told in Acts chapter 22 and Acts chapter 9, when he was praying for 3 days and fasting, Ananias came to him and said, "Get up, Saul. Why tarriest thou?" That means, why are you waiting? "Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." He was told to get up. Get up. And he was praying and fasting for 3 days. So you know he believed. But he wasn't a Christian yet. He hadn't been saved yet. He hadn't had his sins washed away yet. God's not going to save you with your sins. He's going to save you from your sins. And the only way you can have your sins remitted is through baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. So if you have not done that, if you've fallen into the trap of one who has said this sinner's prayer and all this other stuff that you've told to do to be saved, you need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ and do it the right way and be added to his church. Acts 2 and verse 42, Acts 2 and verse 47. Be added to his church, not to some man-made church. And we don't say that to be unkind and to be mean. We say that because we want you to be saved. The Bible has already warned us that there's going to be false doctrine out here. There's going to be other people that are going to be raising up plants that are not rooted by our Heavenly Father, that have not been planted by our Heavenly Father. And they're going to be rooted up. And so we're warning you. There's only one church, Ephesians 4 and verse 4. There's one body. All these other bodies out here have nothing to do with Jesus planting them. No matter how much they're deceived, no matter how sincere you may be. Paul was very sincere when he was persecuting Christians. He said, "I did all things in good conscience before God." So we want you to come and be a Christian. And if you have a question about it, just come talk to us. You don't have to make a move right now. Come talk to us and be sure about what you're doing. But if you understand that what you've done is not right, we beg of you to come. And if you've been a Christian, you've been partaking of wine and intoxicating drink, you need to repent and do what's right before God. Why don't you make it right with God now as we stand and sing the song that's been selected?